Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's really a pleasure to be a small part in this kickoff event for this new initiative called Green Speech. I, too, had no idea what green speech meant until Rabbi Stern explained it to me and told me what it's all about. Really, the fact that we're just all getting together, spending an hour of our evening, only a couple of weeks away before the 3 weeks will begin, that in itself is worthwhile. And if you want to know what Hashem is doing right now at this moment, we don't have to look further than the Navi. The Navi Malachi, one of the last of the prophets, he tells us when people get together to speak about worthwhile pursuits, Oz Nidru Yirei Hashem, when God-fearing Jews come together to talk about things that need strengthening, that need new resolve, is V'yakshev Hashem V'yishma. Hashem listens. V'yakshev, he puts his ear to it. V'yishma, he listens. V'yikosev B'sefer Zikorem. And he writes it down. He writes all those who are here, he writes it down. All those who are here. Don't worry, you're not going to get extra emails now. No spam mail, don't worry about that. But just the fact that we're getting together to speak about something that's so important, as Ramike said before, is worthwhile. Because as we know, the reason why we're still in exile, already 1949 years since the destruction of the Second Temple, is for one main reason. And that is, as the Gemara tells us, sinas chinam, hatred not based on anything that could warrant such hatred. And primarily, as the Chafetz Chaim says, and really before that, Maizeda the Chassam Sefer explained, is due to Lashon Hara, is due to evil speech. The way we speak about one another, about communities, about institutions. Lashon Hara, not using our mouths, our tongue, and our way of speech properly. And therefore, if we want this to change, and change means not just to have the utopian situation of going back to Eretz Yisrael with the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, but really having all of our problems, both personal and communal problems, put to an end. Because every one of our problems stems from the fact that there was a destruction 1949 years ago. And the fact that we're still languishing in this exile. And we have our ups and downs. It's a roller coaster until that point of redemption. But nothing will be perfect. And all our problems, be it in health, be it with marriage, be it with children, be it with livelihood, be it with so many things that we're lacking, all can be boiled down to the fact that we're not living under one roof in the Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael with world peace. And that will only come when Mashiach comes. And that will only come when we put an end to this galus, to this exile. So really what green speech is not so much let's not talk Lashon Hara, let's not slander one another, let's not look at each other in a bad way, with a bad eye. It really has an interesting catch to it. It's intriguing. I think it may work. What green speech is that we have to start changing the way we speak in a more positive way. So the truth of the matter is, what we really all need is speech therapy. We need speech therapy. You see, we've become accustomed to a certain way of speaking, and that's what we do, and that's where we're okay speaking and saying in different settings, maybe only one-on-one, maybe only in a closed room, or maybe when we think nobody's listening, or even sometimes unabashedly, when we know people are listening, when we know it's going to be spread all over, we don't mind. We've become accustomed to a certain way of speaking. And therefore, we really all need speech therapy to train ourselves how we're supposed to speak, how we should speak. Well, what is speech therapy in the classical sense? Children who never are born with some sort of speech defect, and they need training to correct their wrong way of speaking, to correct the delayed speech. And there are people who are trained in this. Or Nebuch Le'aleinu, a person, an adult who suffers a stroke and many times has to get back to speaking properly and needs speech therapy to teach them how to speak again. And that's really what we need to do. To be successful in conquering not speaking Lashon Hara, we need to correct the way we speak. We need speech therapy. You know, I'm certainly not one who's worthy to say what Hashem is doing in the generation. But we do have a bit of a guide from Reb Chaim Volozhin. The great Reb Chaim Volozhin says, now that we don't have Nevi'im, we don't have prophets, we can't say for sure, for certainty, this is exactly what Hashem wants to do us to do at this moment in time, for this generation, for this period of time. But Hashem has a way of getting the message across. And Reb Chaim Volozhin says, we know that Hashem behaves in a way of mida keneged mida, literally measure for measure. And when Hashem behaves in a certain way, He's really telling us that there's an underlying message here. And that is, Hashem is saying, this is what I need you to correct at this period of time. And I've heard this example used by my Rebbe, Reb Matisyo, Solomon Shlita, on several occasions. This idea of Reb Chaim Volozhin, where we see what's happening in the world, a certain phenomenon, and we say, you know what? Now we get it. Now we see maybe what does Hashem want us to do at this moment. And it's interesting that there are many children, and even just in the Jewish world, many Jewish children who are in the need of speech therapy. You know, I have a friend who runs an agency for therapists. He matches up people in need with therapists. There's occupational therapy, and there's physical therapy, and there's speech therapy. So I asked him, I said, what percentage of your clientele is speech therapy? And he says it's almost 50% is speech therapy. More than the other therapies that he offers and that people are in need of is speech therapy. That's very telling. That's very telling. Maybe that is indeed what Hashem wants from us. Hashem said, look how many people have problems with speech. Well, why is that? Why is that phenomenon? Because really, we all need speech therapy. So that's what we're going to, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, try to explore this evening for a few moments in trying to realize what the therapy is and develop a deeper understanding for the way we speak. Because it's much more than correcting our speech. It's much more than curtailing the talk that we're not allowed to by Jewish law. The way we speak and what comes out of our mouth really boils down to the essence of our very creation. Rabbi Yeruchim Levovitz, Zatzal, the late Mashgiach from the Mir Yeshiva in Poland, he said the following fundamental idea. He bases it on two Gemaras. Can you explain the Gemaras? Try to give them over as best as we can. The first Gemara tells us that someone who is mevaze es hamoyadis, that means he belittles chalamoid, the intermediary days between the two, the first days of Yom Tov and the second days of Yom Tov, if someone makes light of them, he cheapens them, doesn't treat them with the right respect, he loses his share in the world to come. That's pretty serious. Wow. If you belittle those intermediary days, you lose your share in the world to come. There's a short list that the Gemara gives. That's number one. A second item on that list is Amal ben Pnei Chaveire Berabim. Someone who embarrasses his friend in public, Ein Lechelik Leilam Abba. So asks Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, says, one second. You know, if someone desecrates the Shabbos, wakes up Shabbos morning, he realizes they forgot to put the urn on. He's not going to have hot water for coffee. Says, listen, I feel like I don't have Olam Haba anyway. So, and he puts on the fire and he heats up a kettle of water. You know he still gets Olam Haba? He desecrated the Shabbos. But he still gets Olam Haba. Someone who belittles the intermediary days of Kalamayid, he doesn't get Olam Haba. You know, if someone, God forbid, murders another Jew, he still gets Olam Haba. But someone who embarrasses another Jew in public, Ein Lechelik Leolam Haba, he doesn't get Olam Haba. How do we understand such a statement of Chazal? So Rabbi Yerucham explains with another Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Brachis that if someone's walking in the street and he realizes that he's wearing a jacket, a dress that is forbidden to wear, realize that it's been sewn with shatness, it's been sewn with both wool and linen threads together. It's forbidden to wear such a thing. He didn't realize it before he left this house. Okay, now he all of a sudden he sees, wow, this is wool and linen. The Gemara says one must disrobe at that moment. One must take it off even if he is in the middle of Times Square. Now the truth is, in Times Square, no one will look twice. But even... even if he's out in public, with people that he knows, he has to take off the clothing that he's wearing that has shatness in it. And the Gemara says, you know why? Because we have a pasuk. A pasuk. Ein chochma v'ein tvuna v'ein das. Ein chochma v'ein tvuna v'ein etzel. The neged Hashem. Whenever there's a chilul Hashem, when this is an affront to Hashem himself, ein chol can cover l'rab. We don't worry about the person's dignity. So Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz says, I don't understand. This is a regular prohibition in the Torah. The Torah says you may not wear shatness, right? If a person is very, very hungry, not pikuach nefesh, he's not going to die, but he's extremely hungry. He hasn't eaten in hours. Yeah? And he has something, he sees something that's not really kosher. You know, it's like rabbinically not acceptable. Is he allowed to eat it? You might say, well, maybe you could eat it. No, you can't eat it. We have a pusik, you can't. What do you need a pusik for? If this is something you can't wear, so you have to take it off. Or do I need a special pusik to tell me, oh, yes, you're not allowed to do that? Yerucham says like this, it must be that the Gemara here is setting the bar until where the halachas of the Torah can demand from a person. And the Gemara says, if this is going to be an embarrassment for the person, if he's going to lose his dignity by having to disrobe in public, then I would say, the Gemara says, that must be the Torah does not demand this from a person. Person finds that he has to remove his garment, that's going to be embarrassing. The Gemara says, I would think that it must be the Torah does not demand that of a person. Because if he has to belittle himself in public, it must be the Torah does not require that of him. And that's what the Gemara says, no, I have a pasuk. It's true. The respect and honor of a person is of utmost importance. But there's one thing yet higher. And that is the kavod of Hashem. And once people know that he's wearing shatnez, something he's not allowed to wear, now it's an affront to Hashem. That's called a chilul Hashem. That's shaming Hashem's name, and therefore we put his dignity aside. So Rabbi Yerucham explains that really what this boils down to is that the purpose of creation is to give respect and honor to both Elohim and to Tzelem Elohim. To give proper respect and honor and dignity to Hashem himself and those people who are creations of Hashem. And therefore, someone who takes the day of Hashem, Shabbos, of course, he knows, can't do forbidden work. And Yom Tov, he knows, he's not allowed to go to work. But those days, those intermediary days, it's not really so important, right? You're allowed to do things. He belittles those days. That's an affront to Hashem himself. That's disrespectful for Hashem. That's not just, I've transgressed the prohibition. That's disrespectful to Hashem. Someone who obviously gets a craze to kill another Jew for whatever reason, we say he must have gone crazy. And it's a terrible sin. And he has to do tshuva the rest of his life to repent for it. But it doesn't mean that he's not had the respect and dignity for another person. But someone who could embarrass another person with, there's no real motivation to embarrass the person. He hasn't gone crazy that he has to embarrass his friend in public. If he does that, he's missing the essence of creation. And therefore, this person cannot go to Olam Haba. Rabbi Yerucham says, with this concept, he understood so well something that Rabbeinu Yonah, a 12th century commentator on Talmud and wrote other svarim. What Rabbeinu Yonah writes. Thank you. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Sharei Tshuva the following, based on a pasuk in Mishlei, a difficult pasuk to translate, but we'll explain what Rabbi Yonah says. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, "Ba'alois tzadikim." This is a pasuk in Mishlei. "Ba'alois tzadikim rabba teferes uvekum rishoyim yichupas adam." Says Rabbeinu Yonah, "Hat tzadikim mefarim umechabdim bnei adam." Tzadikim glorify and give honor to other people. I'll call my lotevan in tzombahem on any good quality that they find in other people. The harishayim, you know, are wicked people. The mechapsim mume bnei adam. They look for faults in people. Ushkiyasim and things that they're deficient in. Lahashpilam to put them down. Says Rabbi Yerucham, take this line of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah is explaining, you know what the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha is? We're in this world to be tzaddikim, and don't be rishayim. You know what the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha is? Rabbeinu Yonah says in one line. Those that look to praise other people, to look for the good qualities in other people, that's a tzaddik. And those that look for negative traits in other people, those that look to put down people, that's a rasha. Starts and finishes just at that. So Rabbi Yerucham says, now I understand that. Like we say in davening, Tamid misaprim kavod keil ukedush asay. You know what our job in this world is? Tamid misaprim kavod keil. To constantly relate over the honor and glory of Hashem. That's why Hashem created us. So it really goes to the essence of our creation. We're created just to praise Hashem. And thereby also praise those who Hashem created. The purpose of this world is to give cover to Hashem, to Elohim, and to give cover to Tzelem Elohim, to those that were created in the image of God. So one who looks for qualities in other people and praises them and extends compliments instead of criticism, that's the tzaddik. That's the one who's hitting the target in what he was created for. And someone looks for faults and looks for areas of negativity in other people, that's a Russia. If you want to encapsulate what is the obligation of a person in this world, we say it every Shabbos. Shekein chayvas kol ha'yitzurim. This is the obligation on all those that were created. Lahoidais, lahalel, l'shabeyach, l'far, l'raymeim, lahader, l'vorech, all different expressions of praise, glorifying Hashem's name and glorifying people and their qualities, because this is someone who's created in the image of Hashem. We know that after Hashem created the entire animal kingdom, the animals, the beasts, the birds, the fish, He then created man. On day number 6, He created man. And the Torah tells us, what is man different than the animal kingdom? In what way is he different? We all know this. The pasuk says, "Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim." Hashem blew into his nostrils a nishmas chayim, a living soul. A person has a neshama. Animals don't have a neshama. And what is this neshama? Vayihi ha'odam lenefesh chayim. Man became a living being. What's the nefesh chayim? Says the Targum. L'ruach m'malala. Man became a person who's able to speak. But as the Torah is saying, in what way was man created superior to that of four-legged creatures and winged creatures in that he's able to speak? That's what the neshama is. Any speech comes from the neshama. And we understand now what the purpose of creation is. To give glory to Hashem's name. To see qualities in Hashem, in His world, and in people. Hashem says, I need to give them the tool that they'd be able to do that. What's that tool? The neshama. What's the neshama? The nefesh chaya. What's the nefesh chaya? The ruach mamalala. The fact that we're able to speak. The fact that we're able to enunciate words. That we're able to articulate the thoughts of our minds into words. You know, with this concept, it struck me that maybe this is the explanation in a very difficult Gemara. And every time I see this Gemara, it's really to understand the back and forth of the Gemara is very difficult to understand. Gemara tells us that Adam la'amal yulad. A person is created to work. I hope that's nothing new for everybody here. Adam la'amal yulad. A person was here, put in this world, to toil. But then the Gemara says, what is he supposed to toil with? I don't know, says Rabbi Elazar. Is he supposed to toil with his mouth? Or is he supposed to toil with malacha? What's the option? I mean, which one would you choose? Toil with your mouth or toil with malacha? Right? Okay, so there's an idea. Rav Schwab says so beautifully, an idea. Is a person supposed to sort of just dictate commands to other people, and they do the brute physical labor? Or is it better that he should do the physical labor and get instruction from other people? Should he use his mouth or should he use malacha? Okay. But then the Gemara goes further. Okay, we have a pasuk, it's the mouth. Adam la'amal yulad, man is here to toil in this world, it's for toil living his mouth. But then the Gemara says, but I'm not sure what that means. Does it mean la'amal Torah or la'amal sicha? Does it mean to toil with words of Torah or with the words of Sicha, of just simple words, of chatter, of mundane speech? And the Gemara says, oh no, I have another pasuk, it's the words of Torah. I mean, what does the Gemara mean? What does that mean? Why would I even think that man was created just to be a chatterbox? I mean, what's the other choice? You have a choice. On one side, say words of Torah. On the other side, just speak freely. Speak whatever you want. How could that be? Perhaps what the Gemara is saying, based on what we just set over from Yerucham Lvovitz and Rabbeinu Yonah. The Gemara says, I'm not sure. What is man's purpose in this world? Is it only to say words of Torah? Or is it Sicha? Is it to go around and just praise Hashem? Just to go around and see the good in people and see the good in this world and just relate it over. That's the Sicha that the Gemara is talking about. Like Rabbeinu Yonah says, we have a whole list, the Mishneh Perek Yovah says, what you're supposed to do at age 5 and age 10 and 13 and 15 and 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 and 90. What are you supposed to do when you're 90? No one here is 90, so you don't know yet. Hopefully we know what stage and age we're up to. Ben Tishim, the Mishnah says, when you're 90, it's Lasuach. Rabbeinu Yonah says, what's Lasuach? Lasuach, Sicha. Because a 90-year-old usually is infirm, usually can't run to the Beis Medrash, get a chavrusa. What could they do? But they could speak. Hopefully they could still speak. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, they should speak words of praise of Hashem Yisbarach. So the Gemara says, maybe that's supposed to be the whole purpose of man's creation. Maybe from 5 years old and all the way till 90. Maybe that's what it should be. I'm not sure. Is it Amal Torah or is it Amal Sicha? Should one only speak words of Torah or even just Sicha? This type of Sicha. Finding the good in people and expressing it. Articulating praise of Hashem. Bringing glory to His name. And the Gemara says, no. One has to always focus on words of Torah. But as we say in the Beis Medrash, the Havamin is also true. The original thought of the Gemara also has its place. Rabbeinu Yonah tells us, when a person is in a position where he can't learn anymore, then that's what he should do. Doesn't have to be even 90. He could be even 60 or 30 or even 10. He can't learn right now. Okay, now his job is Sicha. How appropriate. After 17 years of working on this project, Rabbi Stern finally set it for the date of Thursday evening, Parshas Chukas. This Shabbos will read Parshas Chukas. Parshas Chukas has the famous story. Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed by Hashem, go get water from that rock. The Jews need water. Go bring forth water from that rock. V'dibartem el ha'sela. Go speak to the rock, and it will give forth water. And Moshe spoke to the rock, and water did not come forth. So he says, 1 second, the last time Hashem said, bring water from a rock, I was supposed to hit the rock. I guess that's what I'll do this time. So he hit the rock, and indeed, water gushed forward. Miracle of miracles. And for that, Moshe and Aaron died in the wilderness and were not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. And on a deeper level, says the Chassam Sefer, we know that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, we would never have served Avodah Zarah. We would never have fallen into that trap of idolatry. And therefore the Beis HaMikdash would never have been destroyed. And that's why it was so crucial for Moshe Rabbeinu, who Yana Shalei Hamantim Bi, because you lost this opportunity of people believing in me to that level, Hashem says, therefore you can go into Eretz Yisrael. So says the Chassam Sefer, 1 second. That's very good, the first Beis HaMikdash. That was on account of idolatry and the other two great sins. But in the second Beis HaMikdash, it was about Lashon Hara. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu punished for that? Says the Chassam Sefer, that's indeed the same reason. Hashem says, you know why I want them to speak to the rock, Moshe and Aaron? You know why they have to speak to the rock? Because Jews are going to Eretz Yisrael now. And I know in the future that if they don't use their speech properly, they're going to lose the second temple as well. Show them the power of speech, Moshe Rabbeinu. Show them what speech could do. Moshe Rabbeinu had an opportunity. If he would have spoken, people would have been amazed. Wow, all he did was say words. And look what happened just with words. But he didn't do that. And you know what people said? Eh, I see. When you want to get something done, you could speak from today to tomorrow. Take the stick out. Hit the rock. You get results. The Chassam Sefer says, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Klal Yisrael at that time. And therefore they were able to then go into Yisrael and not have that deeper understanding to what the power of speech is. Had they spoken to the rock and the water would have come forth, they said, wow, this is what speech could do. And the truth of the matter is, Reb Chaim Volozhin, not to go into it at length, but Reb Chaim Volozhin cites many examples, as he does throughout his sefer, many examples from the Zohar HaKadosh, from the Kabbalistic writings, of what every word that we utter, what power it has. He says, every single word, Ein lecha mila umila, that a person utters from his mouth, that doesn't go up on high. And if it's a good word, it will create a malach, an angel, and that angel will have a crown on its head from every good word that we say. You know, it doesn't even have to be a good word that someone else hears. It doesn't even have to be that you're praising somebody. It could even be that you're home alone. You're in the car, and you can utter words. You say, you know, that guy is such a nice fella. You know what that person did to... You know, my wife sent me with the lunch I liked. She's so terrific. Those words will go up to the Shemayim and create a malach that will have a crown on its head. Words have power. And if they have power for the good, they certainly have power for the repercussions that it could have in the opposite way. Rabbi Elia Lapian points this out. We're talking about speech and hitting. Pasuk tells us in Mishpatim that if a person, God forbid, hits a parent and causes that parent to bleed or have a black and blue mark, the child is put to death. What misa do we give him? For hitting a parent, make of the imai, mais yumas. Chenek. Mois yumas is chenek, strangulation. Someone who is mekalel of the imai, someone who, God forbid, curses a parent, also is put to death. What death do they get? What's the capital punishment? Skila, the highest on the totem pole, as opposed to chenek on the lowest. He hit their parent? You can go to court for that. God forbid a person curses a parent? The Torah's view of things, it's far more severe. Says Rabbi Levi, of course, because words count a lot more than action. That's why the Chassam Sofer says every day at the end of Shemini Esrei, we ask Hashem Elikai. He says, "By God, Nitzar L'Shoy Nimira, protect my tongue from speaking evil, because it's so easy to speak negatively." It's so easy to say the wrong thing. So we all need speech therapy. We all need to know how to speak properly. Know what we should be saying. Every person is limited to the amount of words that they're able to utter in his lifetime. And we have to make sure that those words that we say, which have such tremendous kayach, such tremendous power in them, are positive words, are words of praise. So let us conclude. I'm getting tired.
That's a good reason. It's a perk.
The other famous episode we have in this week's Parsha, Parshas Chukas, is that B'nai Yisrael spoke Lashon Hara. They were getting upset. They were getting tired of the mun that they were eating. And they spoke against Hashem and against Moshe Rabbeinu. And Hashem then sent the Nechoshim Asrafim, these fiery serpents which came and started biting the people. Can you imagine the scene, what that looked like? There are snakes. Who knows what they look like? Fiery serpents slithering throughout the camp, biting people. People running. It was chaotic. And they're biting people and people are dying. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu, please, please stop the plague. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem, what should I do? Hashem says, make a nachash. A saraf, which Moshe Rabbeinu understood is a nachash. Make a snake. Moshe Rabbeinu made a copper snake. A nachash, a nachashas, a copper snake. And put it on top of a pole so everybody could see. And they'll gaze at that copper snake, and then they'll be healed, and then they'll live. They won't be harmed. And we know that Mishnah Rosh Hashanah already tells us, is it the snake that can kill, that can heal, that can make live? It was just to be a symbol. When one looked at that snake, it reminded themselves of something. And in the opinion of the Klei Yakor, you know what it reminded them of? It reminded them of a different Nachash. Reminding them of the first snake in history, the one who spoke Lashon Hara against Hashem. And when they realized that, we better do tshuva on what we said wrong. That nachash reminded us of a different nachash. And the truth is, that nachash, even though he was the most evil of all beings in the beginning of creation, and he was cursed for the rest of its life, but yet, hidden deeply, that Nachash is waiting for us to correct his evil slander, which caused our evil slander, and as soon as we correct that, then that Nachash will turn into the coming of Mashiach. Because the gematria of Nachash and that of Mashiach, says the Rebbe Rabbunim, is the same. When the brothers went down to Mitzrayim for the second time to get food again, this time bringing Binyamin, and again they were set up. And Yosef had his silver goblet, put it to Binyamin's sack, and they left, and he sent the police after them, brought them back to Mitzrayim. He says, how dare you? He says, don't you know? Hala yadatem, you know, ki nachesh, yinachesh. Ish asher kamayni, which means, according to Rashi, do you think I don't know that? Nachesh, yinachesh, I know the incantations, I know sorcery. You think you're going to pull a fast one on me, says Yosef. Interesting wording. Pinachesh, yinachesh. Nachash. And the Rebbe Rabbunim of Pshischa says, you know what Yosef was alluding to here? Kinachesh, yinachesh. Nachesh is Mashiach ben Yosef, which will then herald in yinachesh, the second Mashiach, Mashiach ben David. Because the Rebbe Rabbunim says, because Nachash indeed is the same gematria as Mashiach. Because we just have to correct what the Nachash started, and which we have been poisoned also. Because when we speak Lashon Hara, that's where Hashem says, sends the snakes. And when we realize that mistake and correct our way of speaking, the Nachash goes away. It's an interesting place. Look at the Targum Yenusim and Ezeel in Shemais Perech Chavav, Pasich Chavches, describing the Mishkan. And the Mishkan had crushed planks on 3.5 sides, and there was a buriach, a pole that held the crushed together on the outside, and one that went through the middle. And the Gemara already tells us the one that went through the middle was somewhat of a miracle, because it went through the middle of the crushed of those boards, and it came to the end, it turned the corner, they came to the second end, turned the corner again. And the Gemara says, you know what it was like? What slithers through something and could turn the corner and turn another corner? a snake. And the Nachash is found also hidden in the Mishkan itself. Because really the Nachash is waiting. He's in the Mishkan. He's right there by the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And it's waiting for us to correct ourselves. And as soon as we correct ourselves, then he's there. He's waiting to turn from Nachash to Mashiach. We do it because we want Olam Haba. We do it because this is the essence of why every person was created. To use our power of speech, to speak positively, to say words of praise, praising Hashem, Kavod Elokim, and praising mankind, Kavod Tzelem Elokim. It's the purpose of creation, and it's what distinguishes a tzaddik and a rasha. And it's why Hashem cares so much when we don't use our speech properly. Because this is the whole maila. The whole quality that man has over the animal kingdom is that he's able to articulate his thoughts into words. And the power, as the Nefesh HaChaim explained, the power of a speech, that every word that goes up to Shamayim, and if it's good, it will create the Malachim of Tov. And Chas V'Shalom, this opposite is true as well. And the lesson Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to teach us, that when you speak and you don't have to use action, you see the power of a word. And that we would have remained with throughout our stay in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, and we would never have fallen into the trap. We would never have had the destruction of Bayis Shein. And this correction, this speech therapy that hopefully all of us will take on during the 3 weeks will be therapeutic indeed. And will teach us how to speak properly. And will change our way of speaking. We'll use our speech in the way that it was supposed to, the way it was meant to be. And with that, we'll take the Nachash and turn the Nachash into what it's supposed to be and bring Mashiach. And it should happen. B'meirah v'yameinu. Amen. Amen.